So the epistle for the second Sunday of Lent is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk that you may abound the more. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor circumvent his brother in business, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto sanctification in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 17. At that time, Jesus taken unto him Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And the disciples hearing fell upon their face and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said to them, Arise and fear not. And they lifted up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Please be seated. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On today's Mass, we continue on the message that Lent gives to us, the idea of the need of fasting, relying upon the grace of God, and even as it also gives to us kind of a summary from the Ember Days that we had this past week of Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. And with the Ember Days, it's a chance for us to also to consider the fasting that is necessary. We saw in the Ember Masses about Moses on Mount Sinai, Elias in the desert, and the fact that they fasted 40 times, just as our Lord in the first Sunday showed to us, being out in the desert, this idea of fasting. And so on this second Sunday, then we have the transfiguration of our Lord in the gospel accounts, was also the gospel in yesterday's Mass, Ember Saturday. And so that kind of gives to us then an encouragement. It shows to us what is the end of our life to get to heaven. And even in that, then we see in the epistle of how St. Paul talks about also our end is our sanctification, it is the will of God, that we must be transformed in Christ. And so I thought it would be good also then to kind of see then a practical application in seeing the two saints that we'll be celebrating today downstairs, St. Patrick and St. Joseph. And looking at them as saints, we have to try to follow, we have to try to emulate, to look at the virtues that they practiced. And that can be then a means for us to also then to try to strive for after these virtues that they did practice. St. Patrick, we celebrate his feast tomorrow. But St. Patrick became this vessel of election to take the words that are spoken of about St. Paul. He became this vessel of election, this call to holiness, to become the apostle to Ireland. St. Patrick was kidnapped at an early age, was in captivity in Ireland. But then he was freed from that, and he left. And then he had the vision from God that told him that he must return to his people. And so therefore, St. Patrick then became this apostle to Ireland. But he spent his life in prayer and in labor for the conversion of the people. So he lived a very hard life. He sacrificed for the people in order to try to convert them. And we see the work of St. Patrick, because from that, he was one of the help in trying to found the Irish monastic system. And so St. Bridget also is kind of referred to as the female St. Patrick, that through the two of them, they helped to establish then the monasticism that would then go out and convert different nations, different countries. And it was all because of then St. Patrick in converting the people. And we know St. Patrick, the famous, preached the Trinity by the shamrock. And through that, he was able to try to help them to understand a difficult mystery by something that grew in Ireland. And so through St. Patrick, through his prayers, through his sacrifices, he was able to convert this country. And we can see that reflection in just from the fact of Ireland is referred to the land of saints and scholars. I mean, we can say this is a reflection of the work of St. Patrick and what he founded there. And it was through his prayers and his sacrifices. Many a time that St. Patrick would go and pray to for the sanctification of the Irish people. There is even the legend that he refused to leave the mountain unless he had the pledge from Almighty God that he would be able to help to judge the Irish people. And so we see through the example of St. Patrick a life of penance, a life of sacrifice, not only for his own sanctification of his own soul, but he was working for the sanctification of a whole country. And so from that, through his example, through what he did for the people, his preaching, he was able then to convert all of these people. And that's where we have then St. Patrick's famous, his breastplate, this lorica, where St. Patrick illustrates his faith in Almighty God, his belief in God, in the Trinity. And so this is something that has been handed down to all of us, that we see this profession of faith almost that we see of St. Patrick. And how through that he shows that Christ is always with us. Christ is around us. Christ is behind us. And that is the intention that we must pray for and ask for. And that realization that Christ is there for us. And so then that became, yes, this famous prayer of St. Patrick. And one of the things that I'll quote for you from that, I think, illustrates to us is this idea of the protection of Almighty God. That he said, I arose today through God's strength to pilot me, so to lead me through life. And so these are things that we must try to see the example, as I say, in this time period of Lent, yes. St. Patrick was one that was very penitential. It is said of St. Patrick that he prayed the whole 150 Psalms in freezing water as a penance to do for the Irish people, for his own soul. I mean, for us just to look at that, and that's like taking, you know, the Psalms from the Bible and reading that. We would have a hard enough time reading that, but yet reciting that in freezing water. It's not something that I recommend to you. It's not a penance. That is something that I would definitely ask your confessor, you know, about. But here you have St. Patrick doing this penance for the people to convert them, to change them. Because obviously at the very start, I mean, Ireland was a pagan country with the Druids. And so St. Patrick battled them in a way for them to see that Almighty God was the one in charge. So he converted the people through his prayers and his example and his sacrifices. And so that is a great example for us, especially in this time period of Lent, as I say, the continuation of the message of Lent, of fasting and prayer. St. Patrick is a perfect example of that. And then also then we look to St. Joseph. And obviously we see the high mission that he had in being the foster father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He was their protector, and so that's what we refer to St. Joseph as the protector of purity. And so he became this model of purity and obedience. for us to learn from, for us to see that example. And so again, with both of these saints, we have virtues to follow. Because with St. Joseph, what great obedience he showed by one, taking on the fact of the Blessed Virgin Mary being with child at that time, that he would have her for his spouse. But then also to understand, to see that when he was asked for the flight into Egypt, that St. Joseph immediately obeyed because he knew it was God's will. That even though it would be very difficult, even though it would be very hard for him to have to do, he was willing to do that. He was willing to take that on because it was God's will. And so he is known for us to be the protector of the universal church. He is known to help in many different things. St. Teresa of Avila had mentioned about that she had never known St. Joseph to fail. And that is because of his strong faith. And so we look at these saints and we look at this time period. And then therefore we call upon these saints to try to help us. It is all very good on Monday, and then on Wednesday we celebrate these feasts because of who these saints are. But I think the best way that we can celebrate these feast days is by following their example, by understanding the virtues that they practiced and putting that into practice ourselves. Because St. Joseph, because of his faith, was so strong that that is why then he was chosen to be this spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, this foster father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the protector of the universal church. St. Isidore, a Dominican from Spain, he said, the victory bell will sound when the faithful recognize the sanctity of St. Joseph. I believe this was like in the 15th century, 15th or 16th century. That he said this about the sanctity of St. Joseph and the recognition of that sanctity. And so these are saints that we must try to follow the example of. As I say, it is all well and good to celebrate their feast days, but we also have to realize why we celebrate them. Because of the virtues that they practiced, because of who they were for whether the country of Ireland or then for the church, the patron of the universal church. And so that is why then we turn to these saints. But also, as I say, in this time period of Lent, yes, it is a great example to us. Because that is the message that we receive today. The continuation of the message of fasting, whether you have St. Patrick. But then to realize then the faith that is required of us, that is necessary for us then to receive this transformation in Christ. Of being transformed in the virtues and seeing the virtues of our Lord Jesus Christ, certainly, but then also that are exhibited through his saints. And that's how we must try to live our lives. So yes, taking example and taking the look at these two great saints, that's why we have then the opportunity to celebrate them downstairs, their lives. But then for us then to try to put that into practice, the need of penance, the need of a strong faith and a trust in God, these are the things that we must try to live our lives by. And so let us pray to these two great saints. Let us have the true devotion to them, a true devotion and understanding of what also they can try to help us with. I mean, just from the fact of St. Teresa of Avila of saying St. Joseph is known to never fail us. And many people turn to St. Joseph asking for even monetary help with that. But again, always these things come. God will answer our prayers when they're good for our soul. God will help us if it's a help to us, to our soul. And so, yes, going back to what this Sunday's preaching, it is the will of God, our sanctification. I mean, that is why Almighty God, through an angel, had told St. Patrick that he must go back to his people to convert them. That would be the means of his sanctification. And for St. Joseph, again, an angel told him to leave, you know, fly to Egypt, to spare the Christ child. And so again, through these means, is how they became such great saints. The sanctification of their souls. And that is God's will for every single one of us. And so that is what we're trying to accomplish during this time period of Lent. This is what we're trying to do by the penances, the sacrifices, the mortifications that we take on to sanctify our soul, to make us holier, to make us more pleasing to God. And so let that truly be our intention during this time period. Going to St. Joseph, praying for that, looking at the example of St. Patrick, or then finding the breastplate as a great means for us to try to follow and to live by. His profession of faith in the Trinity. So as I say, let us turn to these great saints that then help us. And obviously the Blessed Virgin Mary always, the one who was faithful to the cross. So let us pray to them to help us then to sanctify our soul because it is the will of God. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.